You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll check in with the Patriots. We'll check in with the most decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps, a little later on. And it all started when Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tested positive back in March. The Utah Jazz Center will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. We'll also check in with the Miami Marlins, who are on hiatus until at least next Monday. No baseball for the Marlins. And they're the team everybody in pro sports is worried about, talking about. And maybe the league should be watching the New England Patriots as well, because several players have opted out for the season. And it makes sense in some of these cases. You have some veterans. This was the oldest team in the NFL last year. Guys have already gotten paid. They've won a Super Bowl. Dante Hightower, he's opting out. He probably looks around, sees that Tom Brady's gone. His fellow linebackers from last year, Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy, are gone. His wife just had a baby. His mother has diabetes. One season isn't worth it, certainly not now to him. And every player has to consider the risk-reward ratio here. Young players face a different set of decisions than the older ones. But if a team starts to lose games or players start dropping off, you'd think the incentive to play will be dropping significantly as well. Then even more players could leave and the competitive balance will be a concern. But then again, it's the Patriots. They could end up 12-4. But right now they face a serious challenge keeping their run of success going. And you have six players so far who have opted out. The McCourty brothers, who are 32 years of age, they might opt out as well. But we'll talk to Tom E. Curran, who covers the Patriots. And you started to get this conspiracy theory of, oh, Belichick, he's outsmarting everybody. Maybe they're tanking, systematically tanking, so they can get Trevor Lawrence next year. But we'll talk to Tom Curran about that. We'll come up with a poll question, correct, McLevin?
We got options whenever you're ready.
Okay, hold on. Got a stat of the day, play of the day coming up as well. This program brought to you by wireless earbuds made by Raycon, R-A-Y-C-O-N. It's the way to go. You'll love these. You get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick. Say good morning to Chat Row. Boy, you got a treat coming up a little bit later on this hour. Tyler, the moderator. He is Tyler, the rapper. And we'll have that music video for you on youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show coming up a little bit later on this hour. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. All right, McLovin, what do you have for me today?
Okay, you mentioned the Patriots. If you're a Pats fan, would you rather be 9-7 or 2-14?
2-14. 2-14. I'll take the hit, 2-14. If I get Trevor Lawrence, I'm good. Yes, Paulie.
I'm going to tweak it then a little bit. If you are a hardcore Patriots fan in this season, you could have one or two results. You can make the playoffs and Tampa can miss the playoffs. So your team can make the playoffs and Tampa misses the playoffs, or you get the number one pick of the draft.
Oh, number one pick in the draft.
You don't want a little vindication?
You know what vindication is? I got my quarterback for the next decade. That's vindication. Because Tom will play 2 years, and then all of a sudden you got Trevor Lawrence. I'll take the hit. Oh, my ego will be fine when people go, hey, you guys only won two games. I know. And the Patriots select Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. Yes, he.
And plus, making the playoffs in New England, it's kind of a failure, isn't it?
The big football story, though, Aaron Rodgers. He was speaking to Kyle Brandt on his podcast. Kyle works for the NFL Network. Aaron Rodgers, as you have probably come to expect, is extremely honest. He is. And he realizes his days in Green Bay are numbered. And here's some of the comments that he had with Kyle Brandt on his podcast about the GMs and what they wanted to do in the draft with these draft picks.
Just look at the facts. You know, they traded up, they drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him. Now, I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs to play their guys.
Also, he talked about the Packers drafting his successor, Jordan Love.
Was I bummed out? Of course. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there. Just got there. I was 21. I'm 36 now. You know, a lot changes during that time. But look, I get it. I see it completely, clearly, and I'm not bitter about it. It just kind of is what it is.
And he reacted this way when he realized that the Packers weren't taking a wide receiver. So he's taking inventory watching the draft. And God, would I love to have seen a camera on Aaron Rodgers as he's watching. Imagine if he says, yeah, you can put a camera on me, because he thinks he's getting a wide receiver. And then they trade up. And he goes, oh, are we getting Higgins out of Clemson? Are we getting somebody out of LSU? Are we getting CeeDee Lamb? And the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love. What? And this is how Aaron Rodgers reacted.
Yeah, I got a text from my agent. He just texted quarterback. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I love scotch, but I've been drinking some sipping tequila lately as well. And once I got that text, I went to the pantry. I poured myself, about four fingers. And I knew it was going to be one of those nights where the people are going to start calling. And there's going to be, hey, is everything fine? You okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Like I said, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But at the same time, I understand it's a business. Yeah. I know that's a reality.
That is the reality. And he had to be that would had to be a puncture. You start to go, you go from scotch to tequila. And that's how you react on. You didn't think you would be doing that. You probably had a nice scotch there to celebrate as you get CeeDee Lamb or, one of these wide receivers out of LSU or Clemson. Any of the wide receivers. It didn't matter what wide receiver. You would have taken any of those guys. But when you trade up, and of course the Packers aren't telling Aaron Rodgers what they're going to do with that draft pick, but he's got to be excited. Although it doesn't sound like he was even watching the draft. Because his agent texts and says quarterback without any context. Like, what quarterback? Huh? No. Corner. Oh, cornerback? No. Quarterback. Oh. I think I'm going to switch to tequila here. Wow. But that's Kyle Brandt's podcast, courtesy of that. A big baseball story last night. The Dodgers getting some payback on the Astros. They picked up the win. More importantly, they picked up the win. I mentioned yesterday during the show that how long would it take before the Dodgers buzz the tower on one of these players? And I got off the air, and a baseball source, works for Major League Baseball, says, you know what, given the shortened season, he didn't think anything was going to happen because you don't want to get suspended. You can't afford to have somebody be suspended for 5, 7, 10 days. And the fact that you have a certain number of days to get these games in, didn't think that anybody was going to take matters into their own hands. Well, that changed. Joe Kelly did that to two of the Houston Astros, and Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman. I also was watching Pardon the Interruption yesterday, and Tony Kornheiser says, I can't see with this shortened season anybody, doing something stupid, throwing at the Astros. I'm like, they're going to throw at the Astros. The question is, do the Dodgers want to put themselves in that situation? And obviously there's bad blood there. Joe Kelly wasn't with the Dodgers in 2017 when you had the sign stealing, but he was with the Red Sox, who lost to the Astros and to be able to go to the World Series. And Joe Kelly, did a couple of drive-bys with those guys. And I know that we always let players, baseball players, they police the game. They police themselves. You can't be throwing at somebody's head. You can't throw 96 miles an hour at somebody's head. If you want to hit him, you want to police the game, hit him in the hip, in the butt, in the back, and you can't be throwing a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. I don't know if Joe Kelly was warned after the first pitch. That's what is going to be the most surprising. I'm trying to find out if he was warned, because I would have been shocked if both benches were not, both managers were not told, hey, I don't want anything up and in. I don't, let's be professional here, because the Astros pitchers eventually have to start sticking up for the Astros hitters. And that's where I would worry if I'm Dave Roberts and the Dodgers. I don't want them throwing at my guys. If my guys are throwing at their guys, hey, let's keep it, you know, under the shoulders here. And you want to hit somebody, hit them with the breaking ball. But you're throwing 96 up top. There's no excuse for that. There's no place in the game for that. I don't like that you have a pitcher able to throw a baseball in the upper 90s at somebody, and that's supposed to be part of the unwritten rules. I've never liked it. I know that, you know, I sort of defer to them policing the game, policing one another. Like, you hit my guy, that means my guy's going to hit one of your guys. I understand the Astros are in for this season. You know, they're going to get this in numerous situations. I understand all of that. Don't like it at all. Because I always thought it was cowardly that a pitcher who didn't have to bat could throw at somebody. Now, that was before this year where, you know, you have a DH this year. So you used to be in the National League. If you threw at somebody, you knew you were coming to the plate and they could do that to you. In the American League, I thought that they were cowards. When you would throw and hit somebody, throw at somebody, and you never had to come to the plate. But this year, no pitching, or no pitchers are batting. It's DHs. And I just don't like it. Don't like it at all. I think it's a cowardly way out. Hit them if you want to. That they know it, you know it, and then there's going to be retribution on, you know, somebody on your team. What if somebody pops Cody Bellinger and he's out for the year? Because that's the risk you run with this. And those pitchers with the Astros eventually have to start throwing at the opposition. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think that baseball is in an awkward position here? Because if they decide to suspend Joe Kelly for 5 games, hypothetically, the Dodgers come back and Joe Kelly comes back and says, oh, I got 5 games for hitting someone, but the other players from the Astros got 0 games suspended for cheating to win a World Series.
I know, but
that's what baseball has to be thinking about.
But baseball didn't have a rule in place with what happened with the Astros. They didn't know how to police the Astros for the cheating. And the organization, the manager and the GM took the hit for those guys. And if I'm Joe Kelly and I'm the Dodgers and you sit him down for 5 days, I would say the same thing. Oh, I got 5 games for hitting somebody. None of those guys got suspended for cheating the game. I get it. I understand it. And it was one of the more bizarre bench clearing. It wasn't a brawl. It wasn't an altercation. It was like, you know, when you have a party in your backyard and you got, you know, a bunch of people from the neighborhood there and you're kind of, you know, discussing things a little bit. Got a little heated there, but they got their mask on. They're practicing social distancing as well. But I think it's going to continue with the Astros. It depends on who they play. But obviously, you knew that the Dodgers and Astros weren't going to play this year. They weren't scheduled to play this year. So due to the pandemic, they changed it because of, you know, the geographical scheduling. Good for us to discuss something like this, but we'll have more on this coming up. We'll hear from Dusty Baker, his thoughts on his players getting hit. Yeah, Paulie.
I guess I want to ask you this before.
I should say getting thrown at, not hit.
Dodgers Astros play tonight?
Yeah.
Will the Astros retaliate? And then we'll revisit this tomorrow.
I don't know how it works when you start the game and you say the first pitch that I think is getting squirrely, you're gone. Because you have to win these games. That's the most important part. The Dodgers were winning when this happened. And I think that's the important part of this. That you got to win the game. And especially if against the Astros. But do I think it's going to happen? Yeah, I do. Yeah, Todd.
Can't you make the argument that just take the high road and just let it go? Do you have to retaliate? Okay, they did their thing, makes them look immature and obnoxious. We were cheaters, and people are going to forever have questions about our World Series. Let's just move on and not perpetuate this and throw back at them.
I don't think they see it that way, Todd. You know, you being a reasonable man, when you got your house egged, you didn't say, hey, come on, let me take the high road. Kids will be kids.
I know, but my first thought wasn't, I got to find out who it is so that I can egg their house. It was just
called the police.
Right, because I want to find out who did it. But I wouldn't have an urge to, like, then go get a dozen eggs and pull up in front of their house and egg their house. And maybe I'm in the minority. I would be upset, especially if it's some kid that's a little immature.
But you do want to press charges.
I'm not going to put a kid in jail or anything like that. I want to, at the very least, go want to go to the parents and say, you know, you might want to straighten your kid out. This is what he did the other day.
They're not going to jail for egging, but you do want to press charges. You're upset about this.
I want someone to be held accountable, but I'm not going to have an 8-year-old. Like, I don't want him, like, something
it's
horrible.
It's sort of like the Dodgers and the Astros. You're throwing, they threw at you. Now you want to throw at them.
I think it's Houston smart. They wink at it and move on.
I don't think it's going to happen. You have to protect your players. And at some point, the Astros pitchers are going to take matters into their own hands, and they're going to go after some of the opposition. Yes.
Is there a difference in whether, you know, Bregman or anyone, you know, Correa, whoever got hit versus almost getting hit? As far as factoring in whether you have to throw back at them, the fact that you didn't get hit, maybe you have a better chance of saying, you know what, let it go. No one got hurt.
But there's intent. There's intent. Now, Joe Kelly says, hey, you know, my control's not that good. Okay. But I know the commissioner has other things to worry about. Like, do the Marlins play again this season? What happened? Like, the Marlins aren't going to play 60 games this year. Imagine the Marlins were, they were in first place. They're feeling really good about themselves leaving Philadelphia. Now, all of a sudden, they're not going to play.
Marlins are a 2-1. That's a .667 winning percentage. If they don't play again, they're going to win the division. They should just tap out.
So they should shut it down for the rest of the regular season?
Safety first. It's like four corners, Dean Smith.
All right. What are you gonna put up for a poll question, McLevin?
Well, we have all sorts of these normal poll questions on big stories of the day. But if you want to do the which defensive player 25 and under would you start your team with, I think that could generate a lot of debate. We had a little pre-show debate about why Joey Bosa is getting paid more than anybody ever.
Joey Bosa got a contract that I don't know. You know, they keep talking about salary cap is going to drop like $20 or $30 million. And they, the Chargers Mahomes'd Bosa. Is that a verb? But they gave him this contract, and I went, wow, okay. The Chargers paid Joey Bosa. Yeah, McLevin.
Is that such a non-Chargers thing to do?
Well, remember, he held out and lived to tell about it with the Chargers. Because Melvin Gordon held out, and I had an NFL source say, this isn't going to end well. And I said it on the air, this isn't going to end well. And it didn't end well for Melvin Gordon. Bosa holds out, still gets paid, and then now he's 25 years of age, and you could make a case he's on that short list. He's in the top five of best defensive players. He's being overshadowed, though, I think, by his brother, because his brother, on a team that went to the Super Bowl, but Nick Bosa could have been the MVP if the Niners had won the Super Bowl, but Joey Bosa at age 25, and you start to look, you know, Myles Garrett's 24. He's getting paid. T.J. Watt is 25. Jamal Adams, 24. Jalen Ramsey, 25. Joey Bosa, 25. Nick Bosa, 22. Danielle Hunter is 25. You got some pretty good defensive players there, young defensive players there. But Joey Bosa got paid. Is he the highest paid defensive player now? So he surpasses what, Khalil Mack?
I think in most categories he's the highest paid. I think Mack
Aaron Donald
gets, like, Mack has the highest total or something.
Okay.
But per year is Bosa. Biggest right. bonus, 103 guaranteed.
Man. Okay. Doug in North Carolina, then we'll take a break and check in with the New England Patriots. Hi, Doug. What do you have for me today?
Well, Dan, this could be a sad day in my life. I'm considering resigning as the president of the Fritzy Fan Club.
Wow. Wow.
Large part, it was because of the pizza thing, and then learning he doesn't wear underwear, but the not knowing the name of the Astros manager may have been the last slide. But I want to give him one more chance. I see he's wearing a Broncos cap, so I'm wondering if he can name the head coach of the Denver Broncos. If he does, I'll stay on as the head of the fan club.
Okay. Todd?
Fangio.
You got his
Dick
first
Fangio.
Name? Okay. Wow.
I got nervous for a second.
Yeah, Paul.
When he finished asking the question, Todd goes, oh, blank.
I just got very pale because I'm like, for a second, I didn't think of it. I needed a few extra seconds. I get put on the spot like that. I was like that when I used to take tests in school, too. I was like, fine. And then as soon as that paper got put in front of me, and if I didn't immediately know the first question, you'd start panicking.
Todd, you graduated second in your class.
I know, but I would have that initial anxiety and panic. And then once I calmed myself down, I was able to breeze through the test. But that initial fear, which is what I just experienced.
If you only would have remembered A.J. Hinch yesterday,
I loved their reaction to the front row. I said, "Can I get his initials?" And when they, that's what helped me get it. It's like, why are they acting like that over my question?
I know. Seton and Paulie got out of their seats. If you didn't get Vic Fangio, then I would probably tell you to go home.
In the end.
Yeah, I'd probably just ask you to leave.
That's fair.
And then maybe just come back when the Marlins come back.
Wow, not till at least next Monday.
Yeah, at least till next Monday. Just go home and study up on some sports, current sports, because if there was, well, there was a category, 1980s sports questions when we had Sports Jeopardy.
And I knew the answers, but you have to time the buzzer, and I thought maybe it wasn't plugged in. I actually asked one of the technical people like during the break to check to see if my stuff was connected.
So your button was not plugged in?
Yeah, it was.
That's what you thought.
It was a conspiracy. Everybody's was working, and mine wasn't because I had all the Astro Bronco answers.
We'll take a break here. Tom Curran will join us. Is this some diabolical scheme that Bill Belichick is fronting here with the New England Patriots and their players opting out? We'll talk to Tom coming up here. It's 22 after the hour. Michael Phelps will join us in an hour from now. And Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz Center, will stop by in the final hour of the program. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. I've teamed up with Full Sail University. We've launched the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. We've had it for a couple of years now. It's an accelerated bachelor's degree designed to teach you all the aspects of sportscasting. In front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, and everything in between. And there's so many things to love about Full Sail, their approach to education. They have hands-on learning, which is so important in this business. You have a faculty with real-world experience preparing the students for what life is really like in the industry. And even now during a pandemic, teaching these students how you have to improvise. And they've done an unbelievable job. You can go on campus or you can also study online. You can earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months. And your bachelor's degree is in sportscasting. You choose to earn your degree online or on Full Sail's campus in Orlando, Florida. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. McLevin brought this up as a potential poll question. I don't think it's a question. If you're a Patriots fan, would you rather be 9-7 or 2-14? I want to be 2-14. I got to think long term here. If I can get a quarterback at 2-14, it's Trevor Lawrence. I like that. Yeah, McLevin.
Could you argue that 9-7 in these conditions is an incredible achievement? You know, losing all these guys.
Well, who cares about an achievement? Like, my achievement is I just got the best quarterback prospect for the next decade or so. Yeah, Paul.
Cam Newton makes the Pro Bowl and you're qualified for the playoffs or you're 2-14.
2-14.
That means Cam Newton would be back.
2-14, I get Trevor Lawrence.
Who might be a great NFL quarterback.
I'll roll the dice on Trevor. Yes, Tom.
Would Belichick give Brady that satisfaction? He leaves and you go 2-14, even if it's obvious that you're tanking. Who knows if Trevor Lawrence, we think he's going to be good, but you don't know.
Do you think Bill Belichick is coaching this year while looking in his mirror to see what Tom Brady
is doing?
He'd
like us to think that he's not, but that's in the back of his mind. I think for sure he doesn't want this to be a disaster season with first season.
Well, of course he doesn't want it to be a disastrous season.
But we're saying we'd rather him be 2-14 than 9-7 for the.
He may not have a choice. He may not have a choice. Yes, he.
I'll say it again, but who in the hell in New England cares about making the playoffs? That's like what you're supposed to at least do. The bare minimum is make it to the playoffs. That's not like some great thing for the Patriots. Like, hey, look, we made it to the playoffs this year. Who cares? You didn't win the Super Bowl.
He's Tom E. Curran, the Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston. You want to jump in on this there, Tom?
Yeah. First of all, yeah, they're paying attention. They want to do better than what Tom Brady does, regardless. They might love him individually, but I've been told by folks inside that building, we're going to be watching every week, and gosh darn it, we do not want to end up with fewer wins than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's a check mark. And plus, I think that Belichick would be left in a twitching pool of liquid on the floor if he ever had a two-win season. I mean, he said that once, Dan, when the Andrew Luck, previous to him, and the Colts bottomed out after Peyton Manning. Curtis Painter was their quarterback. A couple years later, Belichick said, you know, you never want to be late on the quarterback position. I mean, we don't want to be the Colts. So, no, it's – I still even wonder, even if they went 2-14, if he'd spend on a quarterback at the top of the draft, because I think that the idea of getting committed to that position at $25, $30 million a year, even down the road, he doesn't love it.
All right. I stand or sit corrected, because I would have thought that Belichick cares about the Patriots and, you know, their season, not concerned about what Tom Brady is doing. And I don't know if that's a referendum on Belichick. Do you think Belichick thinks whatever Tom does and Tampa does is a referendum on him?
No, not necessarily, but I do think it's almost like it's going to turn into a bird magic thing where they're eyeing each other and checking on each other and paying attention to what each other's box scores are. I don't think it's a coincidence at all, Dan, that yesterday, after the spate of opt-outs, Rob Gronkowski tweets out basically, LFG, and then Brady goes, indeed, Robert. I mean, it's just not a coincidence.
How many players so far, what are we up to in the opt-out Patriots?
Six of them.
Okay.
Three real, real key guys.
And then you got the McCourty brothers.
Yes.
Are they going to make a decision soon? It felt like that there might be a question mark for the 32-year-old defensive backs.
Yeah, it's August 3rd is what seems to be the tentative opt-out date. July 28th was the reporting date, and they were going to give it a week, so it's about August 3rd. That hasn't been locked and cemented in stone. I think with Devin and Jason both, they're continuing to mull it. I mean, Devin has lost his secondary mate in Patrick Chung. But the interesting thing about Belichick is he takes a guy and puts his hands on his cheeks and says, you're my guy. You're the guy who's going to be my sergeant. You're my general, my leader for the next 10 years. And he's done that with Devin McCourty. And I think in doing that, you develop a certain level of commitment from that player. I mean, Devin had a terrible tragedy earlier this summer. He lost a child in childbirth or just before childbirth. He's got multiple kids. I mean, I'm sure that he's got enough money. He's got enough rings. He's got enough fame. He's very active in social justice matters. There's a million things he could do. But I think that the commitment weighs on him too. So it'll be interesting to see which way he goes.
If Brady was still the quarterback there, do you think these players would be opting out?
I asked the same question yesterday. No, I don't. I don't think that would happen. I think that that they would have a much harder time explaining it. Look, Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. I think that that is on its own planet.
Yeah.
And Hightower and Chung both have newborns, or soon to have newborns. And Brandon Bolden had a health situation too, if I'm not mistaken. But I think when these players look at it, they're like, I've made over $30 million. I have three rings. I'm over 30 years old. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a cluster. We're going to sit there in our cars and wait to get into the facility to have our nose swabbed one by one every day. Then after the nose swab, we have to go through this process of getting into the locker room, then into the training room, then onto the practice field for a season that might not happen. And I think that a lot of those players are like, do I want to do that to go in there and go 7-9 with Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton or whatever we're trying to do? If Brady was there, though, Dan, I don't think 7-9 would be in the conversation. So, no, I don't think that there would be this many players opting out, because they would be championship caliber.
What about Belichick's role in all of this? That I know that he gets maybe too much credit sometimes, maybe sometimes not enough blame, but this situation where you actually have people saying, is this a plan by Bill Belichick to tank this season? Do you think that Belichick is capable of doing that?
Yeah, that first germinated with an NFL executive tweeting or texting back and forth with Adam Schefter. And as I said in response to that, this explains why there's so much turnover in the head coaching in the NFL executive ranks every 3 years or so. I mean, you can't be any more staggeringly, ridiculously dumb than that. To think that Bill Belichick would think it's a great idea to lose the linchpin of his defense in Dante Hightower, the right tackle, and then their box safety. That's great. Yeah, let's go out and go 2-14, just like Dan was talking about. I mean, come on.
He did bench Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, Tom.
Because he thought he'd win anyway. Honest to God, he thought he would win. I mean, I had someone close to me go, it's not like they're going to go out there and score 40 points on us.
With Nick Foles.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they did not think Nick Foles was great. They made me put my coffee cup down at the beginning because it was here, and they said it was blocking the shot.
Yeah.
But halfway through, I need to take a sip.
Well, they probably had a problem that it says Dunkin' Donuts on it. So we're giving Dunkin' Donuts some love there.
Well, it says Dunkin' because they took the donuts off. But yeah, you're right. All right. How's that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. By the way, that's a nice hat you got. Is that a cap?
It's a Scally cap.
Yeah.
Some people call it a newsboy, I guess, these days.
Yeah. 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 Well, these days or maybe like, you know, 70 years ago.
You know what, Dan? I don't like the direction of the conversation now. Things are going great. And do you know, I will add to this, the one thing about not being – and training camp is going to be fascinating because they have these three different classifications for the media. There's something called 2M. There's going to be 10 slots. Those individuals will have to be tested every day as well to have any indoor access. And even with New England, we might not have direct access. And then there's something called 3OA. Which is you never will be in the same room as a Patriots player. And for me, I will never be – I might not see a rep of the New England Patriots until their first game of the season because I probably won't be able to get to practice. We'll probably get one person out of practice for our place, which generates a ridiculous amount. I don't know how I started on that. There was a point that I wanted to make. but here I am. I just am not going to see a lot of reps, so I don't have to shower up every day.
Got any Cam Newton updates for me?
They expect him to – I think that they are – take this, Dan, and I don't have any updates. Would you and the fellas think that the lack of a preseason for Cam Newton can somehow be construed as an advantage for Bill Belichick? I would say that it does because no one knows what they're going to do with him. No one knows if they're going to start Stidham. No one knows if they're going to start Newton. No one knows what the offense is going to look like. So that's a place where I say the Bill Belichick genius and subterfuge helps.
It's great to talk to you. It's great to see you. And
Thanks, I
hope you have a great week and a great life, a great month, great season, all of those.
This isn't goodbye?
For now.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Like I got to resume my regularly scheduled programming because you kind of took us off path here, and then I lost half my audience there when you were telling about not being able to go to the facility.
People are interested in how the nuts and bolts, how the sausage gets made. I defy you to. All right. Talk to you later,
thank you,
buddy.
Tom. That's Tom E. Curran, Patriots insider for NBC Sports. All right, McLevin, what's the poll question we're going to go with?
Okay, there's one more to throw out.
All right.
So you have your choice. You go, will Aaron Rodgers be the starting quarterback for the Packers in 2021? If you're a Patriots fan, would you rather the Patriots go 2-14 or 9-7? I kind of disagree with Tom. Or we could go best young defensive player, or we could go, if you were an opposing pitcher, would you throw at the Astros? So it depends what topic you want to get. I would.
Let me see.
If you're a Dodgers fan or a Dodgers player, would you want the pitcher to throw at the Astros?
I kind of want to win the game. That's the best retribution I can have for the Astros. All right, you hit him, and then what? He walks down to first base? I mean, you want to get your frustration out, win the game. That's more important here. If I'm going to have somebody throw at the Astros, then just be professional in how you throw at them. But I don't want to lose any of my pitchers. I don't want them to be suspended. Will Aaron Rodgers be the starting quarterback for the Packers in 2021? I'm going to say yes, but not after that. And when we come back, possible destinations for Aaron Rodgers when he leaves the Packers. Phone calls, always welcome. Michael Phelps will join us coming up next hour. And Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz Center, on getting it all started back in March when he tested positive. All of that coming up here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Here's Dusty Baker, the Astros manager, on how the bench clearing started.
You know, what really enraged everybody is when, you know, he told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out. And he told him, nice swing, and see, what are you supposed to do then? And then what upset me is that the umpires warned us. Why don't you warn him? You know, he's the one throwing the ball. And, he's the one that started this mess in the first place. So I didn't like it at all.
I know Dusty wants some sympathy. He's not getting any sympathy, at least not yet. But yes, the umpire should have warned the Dodgers as well. And game two coming up tonight, maybe the Astros and Dodgers realized that somebody, you know, was going to get thrown at. Nobody got hit. I don't know if Major League Baseball steps in to say, if you hit somebody, both benches warn, both managers warn, both starting pitchers warn, and if it happens, then we're going to sit you down for X number of games. Play of the day is brought to you by great wireless earbuds from Raycon. The way to go, get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick. Larry in Texas joins us on the program. Hey, Larry, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, I was just thinking if the Astros and Dodgers get into a fight tonight, the Astros should punch them wearing their World Series rings.
Wow.
Because it's the way the Dodgers are going to
That's good, Larry. At least wear them to the ballpark there. I think that would be great. David in Texas joins us. Hey, David, what do you have for me?
Hey, Dan.
Yep.
So my thoughts are on the Aaron Rodgers comments that you made earlier. I think what are the chances, maybe it's a pipe dream, that Aaron Rodgers comes down to the Dallas Cowboys, reunites with Mike McCarthy, and we drop off Dak Prescott. I'll hang up and listen and suck it back real.
All right. Well, thank you, David. I'm going to guess if Aaron Rodgers didn't like Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, he might not like him in Dallas either. A couple of possible destinations. And it's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's a question of if he leaves Green Bay. It's going to be when. Is it after the 2021 season? Because he still has a lot of money coming his way. And then Jordan Love is going to probably take a couple of years if he's even able to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He can have all the talent. That doesn't guarantee that the Packers have found their guy. Maybe they have. Maybe they realize they got something special. What about going to the Chicago Bears? Because they will have moved on from Mitchell Trubisky. Nick Foles will probably be done or, you know, would be the backup quarterback. And if you could say, hey, we're going to send a message like Brett Favre did when he went to Minnesota, that'd be a direct hit. Because Bears-Packers is a whole lot different than Packers and the Vikings. And Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, they finally have a professional quarterback there. I also see, let's say Drew Lock is not the quarterback Denver thinks they have. They have invested in weapons. Let's say 2 years from now, Aaron Rodgers, John Elway puts the Peyton Manning press on him and brings him in as a possibility. I wouldn't rule out Dallas from the standpoint of Jerry Jones wanting to get Aaron Rodgers there, but I don't know what that relationship is like between Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott. You know, Dak may look at it as, okay, it's just, yeah, the player takes it personally. The owner, for the most part, it's business. But if Dak looks at this and says, hey, I get it, it's business, I'm going to get paid, whether it's here or someplace else, do the Cowboys move on from Dak Prescott if they know that they can get Aaron Rodgers? I'm sure there are other teams, but Aaron Rodgers wants to go. How about New England as a possibility? Because Tom Brady has talked about Aaron Rodgers before and how Aaron Rodgers would succeed in Belichick's offense because he can make all the throws. They're going to know what they have in Stidham. They'll know what they have in Cam Newton in 2 years. This is two seasons. So it's this season, next season, and then Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is playing for somebody else. But those are just some of the possibilities that you have, I think, with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Paul.
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers to the Bears, and as a Bears fan, it's like I got really excited for a second. Then I remembered there's almost like a force field around the Bears franchise for great Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They don't enter unless they're coming to play the Bears. They don't join the Bears. They don't get drafted by the Bears.
Something happens when they walk in there.
That's right.
That all of a sudden something changes with them. You could send in Patrick Mahomes to Chicago.
Right.
And he could walk in there and put a Bears uniform on, and all of a sudden you go, wait, what happened to Patrick Mahomes?
Like, if the card went up to the commissioner that the Bears draft Patrick Mahomes, the commissioner said, I don't see this. I don't actually see this happening. He may have vetoed it right there.
Yeah, this is actually a really good quarterback.
Can't do that to Pat Mahomes.
Yes, McClellan.
What about the three California teams with Rodgers returning? Any chance the Chargers or Rams opens up, or
the Niners?
I know Jimmy G's under for a lot of money, and so is Goff, and so Justin Herbert's there. But 2 years, a lot can change.
Yes,
maybe?
Yeah, we've seen that with the NFL. I could certainly see San Francisco if they kick the tires on Tom Brady. Why wouldn't you do? And that's 2 more years with Garoppolo. Now maybe you see progression there with Garoppolo. Or you're going to realize, because Garoppolo, I think, would be 29 in 2 years. Packers have had 2 opening day starting quarterbacks in the last 27 years. Other than the Patriots, who have had 3, every other team has had at least 6 season opening starting quarterbacks since 1993.
Stat of the day.
Hell yeah.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
By the way, that's courtesy of Ethan, our stat guy. Yes, McLovin.
So the Patriots, it's when Bledsoe, Brady, Garoppolo for the year Brady was suspended. Is that the 3?
I think so.
That's weird. Yeah. That'll be the 4th this year.
Yeah. Because Brady got hurt that 1 year. Matt Cassel took over for him, but Brady did start the season. Jesse in California. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me?
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good, Jess.
First time, long time. 5'8", 165.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dan. Today, my 40th birthday. Currently, I'm out playing golf with my brothers.
Well, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Just want to say thank you for all that you do, Dan. Been listening to you guys for over 10 years. Really appreciate the show, the banter, just all the stuff that you guys talk about. You guys brought sports, music, everything is always just something to brighten our day out here.
Well, thank you, Jesse. Have a great day with your brothers there, and happy 40th birthday. What's the poll question we're going with, McLovin?
I actually started out, will Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback in 2021 for the Packers, just to get the consensus? Only 56% say yes. That's pretty close.
Coming up top of the hour, when do the Miami Marlins play again? Who wants to go to Miami to play? Who wants to have Miami Marlins coming to your ballpark here? Jeff Passan from the Mothership will join us. And Michael Phelps got a documentary coming out. Really, really deep dive there with Michael Phelps on depression. Michael will join us coming up.